On March 31st, 1732, in the little town of Rohrau, Austria, Franz Josef Haydn was born in a thatch-covered cottage. His father was a prosperous wagon maker. He was also a farmer and an official of the town. In the evenings, when Josef was still a very young child, he would join with his sister and mother as they sang to the accompaniment of the father playing a harp. Even at the age of 3, Josef had a beautiful, clear voice. One day, the father saw the boy rubbing 2 sticks together as if they were a violin and bow. His parents began to realize that Josef should have a musical education. But there were no experienced music teachers in such a small town. When he was about 5½ years old, Josef went to live with his uncle and aunt. They lived in a town some distance away. There, Josef would receive his education as well as music lessons. His uncle was a school teacher and in charge of music at the Church of St. Philip and St. James. Little Josef was kept very busy at his uncle's home. After the regular school day, he could practice on the many musical instruments used in the church services. In addition to the violin, he learned to play the clavier and organ. When Josef was only 6, he played a kettle drum in a great religious procession. Since the boy was too small to carry the drum, it was strapped on the back of a small man. It is said that Josef learned to play the kettle drum only a few days before the procession took place. One day, Josef was invited to sing for the choirmaster of the famed St. Stephen's Cathedral of Vienna. The choirmaster had come in search of boys to sing in the famous cathedral choir. When he heard Josef sing a very difficult exercise perfectly the first time through, he asked Josef to come to Vienna the following year and become a member of the choir school. It was a wonderful opportunity. Josef would sing in the choir and receive his schooling, room, and meals. But life at St. Stephen's was not as pleasant as Josef had expected. The food was poorly prepared, and there wasn't enough to satisfy the hungry choir boys. The chapel master was an unpleasant man, and sometimes he was very cruel to the boys. About the only time the choir boys did get enough to eat was when they were served refreshments after singing at various functions in Vienna. Only the best singers went to these performances, and Josef was always among those chosen. Once, after singing for Empress Maria Theresa at her new palace, the choir boys went outside to play. The scaffolding had not yet been removed from around the new building, and the boys began climbing it. The Empress scolded them severely and warned them that they would be whipped for doing it again. Young Josef could not resist the temptation and again climbed the scaffolding. The Empress saw him and ordered the choirmaster to whip the fair-haired blockhead, as she called Josef. As the years passed, Josef did a great deal of singing in festivals and special functions as well as at church. In addition to his singing lessons, he received some instruction on the clavier and violin, as well as other musical training that was to be useful in later years. One cold November day, Josef left St. Stephen's because his voice had changed and he no longer could sing in the choir. He took with him his only possessions, 3 ragged shirts, a worn coat, and a few music books. He had no money and no place to go. However, he wanted to remain in Vienna and earn a living as a musician. Luckily, Josef was invited to come and live at the home of a musician named Spangler, whom he had met earlier. Spangler had only a small attic room that he shared with his wife and baby. Josef was thankful to have a roof over his head, even though the Spanglers were too poor to give him any food. Josef earned small amounts of money playing serenades with other musicians. They would be hired by a person who wished to have serenades played for someone he admired. Occasionally, Josef played for dancers or gave music lessons. After a while, he was able to move into a room of his own where he could teach music during the day. It was an unheated attic room in a building of wealthy tenants. He became the proud owner of what he called an old worm-eaten clavier. At night, he practiced and studied books on composing. Most of the musical instruction he acquired in his lifetime was gained through self-instruction.
Oh, dear,
musical setting written by Joseph for the Catholic Mass was sung in a church in Vienna. It was perhaps the first work of any importance that Joseph Haydn wrote. Haydn was hired to give music lessons to the daughter of a wealthy Spanish gentleman who lived in the building below Haydn's attic room. The girl learned so well with her young teacher that Haydn was invited to come and live with the Spanish family. The girl was also taking voice lessons from the famous singer Porpora, and Haydn played for her lessons. Soon Porpora asked Haydn to become accompanist for all his students. Haydn even agreed to act as a personal servant to Porpora, cleaning his shoes, brushing his clothes, and combing his wig. In exchange for these services, Porpora helped Haydn with his compositions and taught him Italian. At a fashionable summer resort with Porpora, Haydn met a great many noblemen and well-known musicians of the day, among them the beautiful Countess Thun. For the first time, Haydn had an opportunity to have his compositions heard in public. This sonata is one of them. The Countess was so impressed with Haydn's music that she began to study the clavier and singing with him. Gradually, Haydn became known as a fine musician. The number of his pupils grew and he earned more money. Through the Countess, Haydn met a wealthy nobleman who enjoyed listening to chamber music with his friends. He often invited Haydn to come to his mansion and play string quartets with other musicians. It was for one of these gatherings that Haydn composed his first string quartet. As the name Haydn became increasingly better known in musical circles in Vienna, he was constantly going from place to place to perform his music. Sometimes he would work 18 hours a day. In the early morning, he played violin in the orchestra at church. Then he would rush to another church where he would play the organ. Next, he would go to still another church and sing in the choir. The rest of the day, he gave music lessons, studied music, and composed and practiced at home. A few years later, when he was 27, Haydn was employed as orchestra conductor and chapel master by Count Morzin. While he was working for Count Morzin, Haydn composed his first symphony, one of more than 100 symphonies he composed in his lifetime. After a concert one day at Count Morzin's, Haydn met the Hungarian Prince Esterházy, who was so impressed with the music that he offered Haydn a job at his own court. The Esterházys were noted for their love of music, and to work for them was one of the highest honors a musician could receive. Haydn's duties would be to compose music and to conduct the orchestra. Of course, Haydn accepted the position.
Haydn wrote several operas which were performed at the palace of the Esterházys. Empress Maria Theresa, the same one who had ordered Haydn whipped for climbing the framework of her palace, is said to have remarked that if she wanted to hear a fine opera, she must go to Esterháza.
One day, Haydn returned from a shopping trip with some toy musical instruments. He always had a wonderful sense of humor, and now he composed a complete miniature symphony for his orchestra to play while using the toy instruments. We know this work as the Toy Symphony. It is said that one morning while Haydn was shaving, he was visited by a publisher who wanted him to compose some special music. Haydn was having difficulty with his dull razor and exclaimed, "I would give my best quartet for a good razor." The publisher rushed to his own room and returned with his own very fine razors. Haydn was pleased and presented the man with the quartet we know as the Reiser Quartet. Haydn's fame as a musician spread all over Europe, and he received many beautiful gifts from noblemen. Perhaps the two finest were a magnificent jeweled ring from the King of Prussia and a gold snuff box decorated with diamonds from the King of Spain. It is said that Haydn always wore the ring when composing because he felt that without it, no ideas would come to him. Haydn and the young composer Mozart were close friends. Often they and two other friends would play their latest string quartets together. Both men had great respect for each other, and each would say that the other was a finer musician. They were able to learn a great deal about music from each other. In a few years, Haydn journeyed to England, and while he was there, Oxford University granted him the honorary degree, Doctor of Music. To qualify for the degree, Haydn was to have written a new symphony, but he had been so busy that he had not found time to do so. So he submitted a work he had written earlier. This is now known as Haydn's Oxford Symphony. Haydn conducted many orchestral concerts in England. Some people dozed off during these concerts, which displeased him. So he wrote a new symphony especially for them. It started very softly, like a lullaby. Then suddenly, without warning, there was a loud chord that nearly jolted them out of their chairs. We can understand why it is called the Surprise Symphony. When Haydn returned to Vienna, he wrote a national anthem in honor of the Emperor of Austria. The anthem was first sung by the audience in a large theater as the Emperor entered. We know it as the song Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Decided to compose an oratorio, which he called The Creation. Each day before working on the music, he knelt and prayed for God to inspire him. After more than a year, he finished his wonderful composition. It tells about the beginning of the earth and man. One of the well-known choruses from The Creation is called The Heavens Are Telling.
During the remaining years of his life, Haydn spent most of his time at his home in Vienna. He continued to write many fine compositions. Franz Joseph Haydn was a very religious man. He possessed a sunny sense of humor and a lovable disposition. Above all, he was generous, and he gave the world the richest gift he had to offer, his music.